May 20, 2021, it's the Wap for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show. Happy Thursday. Start off with John Coltrane. Come rain or come shine. That's right. You know, come rain or come shine. Yesterday, I didn't have a show. But if I would have, it would have been 20th anniversary of Walk from Pedro's show. Brother Matt, miss you big time. But those Estonian software engineers with their Skype adventure, I'm not totally man alone. Because I got Brother Eric Slick with me. Welcome aboard, Eric.
Thank you so much for having me. It is an honor.
And we heard after John Coltrane, Don't Care from you.
Yeah.
And you're talking to me from Philadelphia?
No, I live in Nashville now.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But at one time, well, we'll get into your fucking journey through music. In fact, let's start it right now. Please bring your earliest musical recollection, please, Eric.
Absolutely. So my first memories are banging on my crib. My parents would play some of their prog rock from the 70s, like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, but they'd also play like Stanley Clark records. And I would just bang on my crib as hard as I possibly could. And I think they both looked at each other and knew that I'd be a drummer someday.
Yeah, there's the big record when I was in high school, or just graduating, was School Days.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, so you know, okay.
Oh, I know, man. I mean, we could get super deep about all this stuff because my grandfather was in the Buddy Rich Big Band. He was a trombonist. So he got eviscerated on one of
did he blow some clams and have to pay for it?
yeah. Buddy fired him, because my grandpa.
Only
liked,
once?
My grandpa liked to talk back to him. You know, he didn't care.
Okay. Okay. You know. Because I've heard of people getting scissored and then he hired you back the next day because he needed you.
Exactly. My grandpa got eviscerated because he called Buddy a Dixieland drummer, which was like at the time, like you couldn't call him anything but the greatest drummer in the world. He had quite an ego on him, but
he had some skills, you know. But I think for me, his feels a little military.
It's extremely military. Okay. It's extremely stiff.
I mean, not just the fucking shit with the talking, but even in his playing style.
Yeah. I mean, okay. he was an extremely serious person, and then when it came into his playing, he was very stiff. But my grandpa played with a lot of people. I mean, he was with like Jimmy Heath, and actually, we're talking to Coltrane.
Jimmy Heath, all right.
My grandpa roomed with Coltrane. They were in like right before Coltrane got clean. My grandpa,
which was in Philadelphia, because that house on 33rd Street's where it happened, where Cousin Mary ended up living.
Exactly. So that's where my grandpa used to hang out. I mean, unfortunately, back in the day, they were like drug buddies, you know. Yeah. But then they were, Coltrane was like bumming around for gigs. And this was before Blue Train. This was before he had the big revelation. You know, this was before, like, Sheets of Sound. But that's what my grandpa used to do. He used to play in big bands around Philadelphia.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. So you got music in your family. I'm going to ask about that. So the pad you grew up in, Eric, even though you were banging on all kinds of shit, was there other kinds of instruments, musical instruments?
Yeah, my dad's a guitar collector.
Oh, okay.
And you've actually interviewed my sister before. So,
bass player?
Yeah, my sister's, yeah, that's Julie.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
that's right,
sister.
She's Philadelphia. Now, my connect with her was via Petra Hayden.
Exactly.
Fucking world, huh?
It's so small. So, yeah, so we had like, basses and guitars in the living room, and I picked up the kit at 5, and my sister picked up bass shortly thereafter. She was like 9 or 10 when she started playing. My dad had a fretless Gibson Ripper, and that was what she learned on.
That's all right.
Yeah.
You know, god damn, the fucking first bass I had, you could put your arm between the strings and the fretboard.
I always loved that story about you where you'd say that you and Boone, like, you'd be like, oh, I like my strings loose. Or I like
well,
my
we
strings.
Didn't relate the tension of the string to pitch.
Yeah.
We thought, you know, when I met him, well, he only knew creams, right? So we thought if you played down on the corner, it sounded right, you were in tune. We didn't know your down on the corner had to be the other. Yeah, we thought it was something personal about tension. But back to your story. So yeah. What about in school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I was in jazz band. So they were a little bit apprehensive about letting me play at such a young age, but I was in the jazz band at school in like sixth and seventh grade, and the first material that we did was like Art Blakey's Moanin', you know, kind of like typical jazz band stuff. Like, I mean, it was fairly hip, but like, yeah, we do Art Blakey or we do
messengers.
Like, yeah, exactly.
He had you know, there's a whole tradition that got lost with those cats about bringing on the young guys. You know, the mentor thing, and he did buttloads of that. I seen first time I saw John Coltrane's son Ravi, it was working with Max Roach, you know, and Del Feo on the bone. Same, yeah, this thing where you would play with the older masters. What about the first record you bought with your own money?
this is funny, but the first record I bought with my own money was MC Hammer's Too Legit to Quit.
Okay.
Did you get
the fucking pants that went with them?
I was begging my parents to get those pants. but like right after that, I got really into Queen. Like Queen was my first favorite band. I loved everything about Queen. I guess this was like 1991 or 1992. Wayne's World came out, and they had that big Bohemian Rhapsody scene in the car. So. That was my first favorite song, and I remember going to the Sam Goody with my parents to pick up the Wayne's World soundtrack.
But the first one you spent money on was actually MC Hammer.
Exactly.
It was Bat Boy for the Athletics when he was a boy. Now, what was the first gig you went and saw, Eric?
Okay, first gig was Ringo Starr's All-Star Band. This was 1989, and it was the first time Ringo did like a full-on solo tour with the All-Star Band. And the band was killer. It was Jim Keltner, Levon Helm.
Jim Keltner, I got to record with him once. What a
oh my god!
Beautiful drummer man from Tulsa.
That's right.
Right. You know who's the piano man? Brought him out. God, my memory. Great. He was a side man. He got him going with the English Dog and Englishman, Joe Cocker, and that shit.
Oh, Joe Cocker.
Leon Russell.
Yes.
No, Leon Russell.
Leon Russell,
he's
yes.
The guy who brought Jim Keltner. And I got to record Mike Baghetta a few years ago. But a beautiful man. I should ask you, that's the photograph in the No Song?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that anymore. I'm tired of waking up on the floor.
Yeah. So check it out.
You know, he also took the picture of Mark Bolan on the cover of Slider.
Oh, yeah.
That's Ringo Starr.
On the cover of the Slider?
No, he took the fucking picture.
He did. I didn't know that.
So it's Mark Bolan's on the cover, but, well, that's why I got you on the show to fucking enlighten you to fucking tense shit like that, Eric.
And I'm looking at it right now, and it is Ringo who did it. But,
me and D. Boone saw that tour. That was our first gig.
No way.
Pinchy way. I wouldn't bullshit you.
My favorite song on that record is Chariot Chugel.
Oh, yeah. What an econo lick. It's half step.
Yeah.
Right? And then the chorus is like, what? You just, because, right, you're learning all these licks and shit. What do you mean you just hold the chord?
You know, the chord.
And his name was Bill Curry. I think Will Legend, the drummer man, is the only guy left. But I learned a lot from Bill Curry. Good bass. Well, there's some tunes on that record where it's just him and Mark, like Main Man.
Yep.
That's just bass and guitar and singing.
And then Flo and Eddie on backups.
Of course.
So good.
Of course. I think they're on the whole fucking thing. I think that was well, they're from Electric Warrior, too. They might have been Tony Visconti idea.
It was, exactly.
You know, who's incredible, who's still around making music. It, in fact, has a Watt Plower bass. Look, I want to play Bullfighter. It holds a place in my memory of you. The night we made honest enemies of truth. Is it your fear? Of other ways to make ourselves, of other ways.
stagnant way of living, but that's the way it is. And give back to wake the prison, all the culpable for forgiven.
bikes and ride, the doomed sky has nothing on you. Roving and scrounging, pillaging the countryside, with the wind at your back, you ride.
Yeah.
with no
Pedro, start that chunk of music off with Eric Slick doing Bullfighter. Little fucking Ernest Hemingway cross with some, God, what's her name? Night of Iguana. Incredible. I love her.
Great Night actress. Of Iguana.
Yeah, Tennessee Williams.
I don't know Night of Iguana.
Yeah, you would. You would. You would. Who's the drinker? Married to Liz.
Ava Gardner?
Ava Gardner, right. But the Richard Burton is the other guy. Yeah, he's Richard a defrocked Burton. Priest.
Ah.
Okay, anyway, so, this is about you. Fuck that. Bullfighter, Eric Slick, after that, Street Eaters with West. That's, God, I can't remember. This fucking memory thing, it's like a muscle, though. You got to use it or you lose. But he was in Triclops. I just can't remember his name right now. Bombas Prendon after that, In the Trees. These guys been around 40 years, recorded 5,000 songs, did 5 gigs. They're still going. SLWCC Watt, a new project, Iowa City. Sam Lockward. We made an album. Ain't even met the guy. Met his wife. His wife gave me some of the CDs. I think that was the initial connect. This tune, Ride. The Married Ones after that with Pretty Things. Pretty Things, Ron Ashton's favorite band. Mm. Yeah, by the way. Blood Quartet, brand new out of Barcelona. This has got one of the cats from Mars, if you remember, No Wave, out of New York City, late 70s. Eigenlicht, Blood Quartet. Aruba, Avua, after that, Umval, Que Depe. Great. I love this cat. Portuguese. Hansone Potker, after that, with Dawn's Light, something that took 10 years or something to see the light of day, but did. And then something you were drumming for, Dr. Dog.
Yep.
Casual Free Fall. Finally. Yep. Now, that's something I picked on my own. Eric Slick. You are not your mind.
Mm-hmm.
You are not your mind. That's a trippy phrase.
But yeah. Anyway,
you can't copyright a song title, people. just to show the gun. So, okay. They don't like you doing jazz band at 5 years old, or whatever the fuck it was. But you still do it. But you do music on the other side, too, right? Like, in the afternoon, the garage band, the basement band, the bedroom band.
Yeah, exactly. So
but when did you get on the fucking guitar?
So when I was in sixth grade, I had a really bad case of like pneumonia. I was out of school for like a month.
I know about that. It almost killed me at 22 years old. They had bags of ice between my arms and legs.
Oh, it is the worst. So I was really sick, and my dad, like I said, he had a guitar collection, and I started picking up the guitar one day, and at the time, that band Everclear, remember Everclear from Oregon? They were really big on the radio, and so I taught myself one of the songs, and that was the beginning of my guitar playing. I was just doing it by ear at first, and then I was looking at tabs, you know, looking at, like, songbooks and stuff, and then my dad and I were driving around about a month later, and we listened to the radio, and I looked at him and I said, hey, that's the same chord from the song that I learned. And that's when he figured out that I had perfect pitch. Like my dad was the one who put it together. I didn't know what that meant at the time.
Well, you know, why can't drummers have good pitch? Of course, they're using a lot of rhythm, right? And the notes don't last that long, right? Like milliseconds after you hit them. But it's still fundamentals of what everybody else is doing. I hate this fucking division between, musicians. I just think it's segregation.
It is. Yeah, it's bad.
Hamilton could not get songwriting credit in the 60s. Drummers can't write songs. Bullshit.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. So I felt like, you know, why couldn't I learn other instruments? Because it would make me a better musician. And that's why I started.
Well, you learned the right one first, because you can play drums. I think you can play anything, because especially rock and roll, rhythm is a huge component.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Okay, so we're not doing the Paganini, 100 notes before we repeat the melody fucking thing with a cape on. We're all little fucking fake drummers. That's why we hide them in the rear. That was a big fuck up that the Minutemen did. We should have never had George Hurley in the back. Georgie should have been way up front, like I've been doing the last 20 years with my bands. All we got is the drummer down front now. Fuck that denial shit.
I love it. Have you ever seen Deerhoof?
Of course. I made an album with the drummer man, who actually also writes. Yeah, he's also a composer. Went to Oberlin, a big music school in Ohio.
That's right.
I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Sorry. But it's for the listeners, Eric. It's for the listeners.
That's right.
But anyway, and I've also played with other drummer cats. They're like, you know, they taught me that the whole fucking trip about drummer jokes. Give me a break, you jealous assholes. Anyway, you know, when was the first time you played a gig on the drums?
You'll really like this. So I was about 9 years old, and my friend, one of my childhood friends, was a guy named John Pfeffer, and he had a band called Capillary Action.
Did his name start with a P?
John Pfeffer.
With a P?
Yeah.
Yeah, tell people about this. His German way. You make your mouth like an F, but you say a... I make it like a P, but you say an F.
So John and I had a band, and we played at our local Flag Day Festival, and John was a very adventurous 9-year-old, and he had discovered the Stooges.
We're talking grade school now.
Exactly. So he discovers the Stooges, and we covered I Want to Be Your Dog at our local Flag Day Festival.
Which was grade school, right? K through 6, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Was it a success?
I mean,
they didn't throw shit.
Well, the people in the crowd were, I think, blown away that we were covering a Stooges tune.
Oh, okay. credit to them for even knowing, motherfuckers.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, what was the first gig you did on guitar?
The first gig I did on guitar was a Who tribute show. So I played... Like The Kids Are All Right and a couple of other tunes. I was a big Who fan growing up.
So for your first gigs, we're like copying. Me, Dee Boone, we learned that way too, copying songs.
You have to. I mean, that's just...
No, I've had people on the show, especially since the movement.
Yeah.
Right away, they started writing their own shit. Mm-hmm. I love it, man. Yeah, there was a big paradigm shift after the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, you had the advantage of your parents being really musical and shit. But a lot of the cats, because they had to go along with the way the movements were. And I'm part of this part where no one wrote their own fucking songs. Mm-hmm, but after me, with the punk movement, you had cats not even knowing how to play. I mean, this is what me and D. Boone saw up in Hollywood when we went to our first gigs. Dudes who did not know how to play, but didn't give a fuck and were writing their own tunes.
That's right. That's right.
When did that happen for you, Eric?
When did I start writing tunes?
And playing them for people.
That was way later, because when I was in my teenage years, I kind of went through the same thing that you were talking about, where my musician friends were not necessarily encouraging me to write tunes. And it wasn't until I got to college, and I went to jazz school for a very short period of time, but I met a guy named Dominic Angelella. And Dom and I, on the first day of school, we were talking about Trout Mask. You know, like we were talking about how much we both love Trout Mask. We became fast friends because of that. And then he was the one who really encouraged me to write songs. He knew that I could play guitar. He knew that I could play drums.
Up to that time, that's kind of like me. You hadn't written songs. Like, I only wrote one song as a teenager, It was called Mr. Bass King Outer Space. It was basically about playing a solo on stage and blowing the rest of the band. I obviously had issues. There was a lot of hierarchy in the older days. And
sure.
Bass was where you put the retarded friend. Yeah, it was like right field in Little League.
Got it.
Yeah. So what was the first song you wrote? Can you remember?
I can. Well, okay, so the first song that I wrote, like, without anybody knowing about it, was when I was seven. So I wrote a song called The Old Man and the Old Woman, and it was like, my dad had a half-broken ukulele sitting around the house, and I was just futzing around on that. And there's probably, like, a tape, you know, a cassette tape recording of it somewhere.
You should have floated.
I know, I should have. So there's that, but then the first song that I wrote, like, that I presented to my friend Dominic.
After Dom, yeah.
Yeah, after Dom was, I wrote a song called Def Gene for our project Lithuania.
I'm going to be playing that in the third hour. I didn't know the chronology. So actually, yeah. Lithuania is before all this Eric Slick shit. Look, definitely. We're at the end of the first hour, May 20, 2021. This is Why Peter Show special guest Eric Slick. Hold tight for hour two.
It's one thing to copy, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It's one thing to copy. May 20, 2021. It's the second hour of the Why for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
nothing to negate. I saw some geeks and I saw God. Mary and Jim and Big Johnny White. And in McDonald's, she did that with Rod. A morning fine old dog in a big rubber cot. I stepped into the gate. I stepped into the gate.
Mio Salento, or on Castel del Monte.
Tired of the terror.
Alarm, alarm, my fears go on and on.
Bought for Pedro Show. Talking about Land Speed Record, people off here. Started the second hour off with Eric Slick doing Note. Then a cat from Philadelphia, Max Nomak. He was on the show a couple months ago. American Child, great stuff. Mickey Sanker after that with Nice Man. In fact, this cat, he knows that drummer man I know, Jason. He plays with Bart Opon. He puts his hair in braids.
Jason Corcunis?
That's it.
So Jason was my old drum teacher.
Wow, he's a good cat.
Yes, he is.
Good cat, good cat. I haven't seen him in a while, but yeah, I think maybe he was playing with Hot Snakes when I first met. I can't remember, but good cat, and he's friends of this cat. And then Mickey Sanker, Nice Man, that's from Jack Brewer. Lucas Abel out of Sydney with Audi, and finally Eric Slick, When It Comes Down to It. And that was provided by you. I think that's more recent stuff.
Yeah, that's from last year. Right, that's right. That's me trying to go full Steely Dan, you know?
The Dan. The fucking Dan. I'll be the day I go back to Annandale.
That's right.
Right? Gladiolas are going outside your door. You know, and that's supposed to be barred, right?
Yeah. Guadalajara won't do it.
And so, yeah, right. William and Mary won't do it. Yeah. And in fact, Bobby Dylan at that school, supposedly when he was a janitor, wrote Subterranean Homesick Blues.
So I didn't know that.
Well, that's why you're on the fucking show. Now, okay. So you got a guitar and you're in songwriting mode now, thank God, from your buddy Dom.
Yeah.
And so do you get on a tear? Do you buy a four track? I mean, what happens?
Exactly. So I bought myself just like a crappy little acoustic guitar because I was living, I moved out of my folks' place and I bought a guitar. I got some recording equipment. I had a four track and I had like a USB microphone for my computer. And that's how I was doing all the demos for that stuff. And then I would, you know, I was emailing it or texting it to Dom and then he'd add his thing. But we would also just meet up at like 8 o'clock in the morning every day and write, you know, like we didn't have steady jobs or anything. It was just like, well, this is our band now. And like, we're going to learn from each other. And Dom is one of the most prolific writers that I know. And he's also such a great writer that I couldn't help but soak up what he was teaching me, you know?
You got to turn me on to some of his music. You know, after the show and shit, will you, like, flow me some stuff so I can check it out? But here's something I want to know. It seems like I'm going to take on the guitar because this is a composition tool and I can compose with it. But you still got these drummer skills. So at the same time, where you're saying you don't have a other kind of employment, but were you still using your music skills as a drummer to help other cats out? So you were still doing something in a parallel universe?
Yeah, well, so what I was doing at the same time was I joined the Adrian Ballou Band.
Your sister!
Yeah. So, like when I was 19, I was gigging with Adrian and my sister, and that was like.
But this ain't the Yard Bears.
No, this is not the Yard Bears. No, okay. That's Fred Frith.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So Adrian.
No, he had the Bears. He just had the Bears, right?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Fucking my memory. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You're doing great. So we had, you know, we were doing a lot of these shows.
So you got to consider that kind of work. It's funny. Yeah. I know we call it playing when we play music.
Yeah.
So go on. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's okay. So we started touring with him, and then I was also picking up work playing with the old Zappa guys. So around 18 or 19.
Are those the guys that call themselves Dinosaur?
King Crimson?
No, Dinosaurs. You said the old. Oh, no, that's right. King Crimson guys. Grateful Dead guys was the Dinosaurs, and that's why Jay had to fucking change the name of his band.
Okay. Exactly.
The Crimson guys, because Adrian played with the Crimson guy and Tony and shit. Right.
Yeah. So the Zappa dudes that I toured with were like from the 70s, late 70s era. And I was doing both of those.
Oh, Roxy and Elsewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So Napoleon Murphy Brock, the singer.
A bass man who played with a pick, Scott Thiel or Scott Tunis?
Scott Tunis was later, yeah.
Oh, he's later? Man, great player, though. Fuck.
insane player. Insane.
And then I got to meet that drummer man, the Black Page guy.
Terry.
Little guy, man, but the sweetest man in the world. He came right off the stage and talked to me for an hour after playing a stadium. Yeah, I was watching on the side. The guy was beautiful.
Was Terry Bozzio.
It was fucking Mike Patton, not the middle class one, but the, Fantoma.
Yeah. Love that band.
So you're doing that. You're doing two parallel bands, and these are kind of proggy. There's a lot of material to learn.
Yeah, and the Zappa stuff is all from memory, too, because, you know, you can't go on stage with a score. So, like, I'm having to learn all this stuff, and we had 150 songs. I mean, that stuff's not easy, you know.
Fuck no!
No, it's turn on a dime. So I was kind of getting my ass handed to me back then, you know. A lot of the older guys in the band were, you know, very upfront with me about what they wanted. And it was a great learning
experience. You know what? Because that's what Frank fucking did to them.
Exactly. They're like, we've been through it. We've been put through the ringer.
Your turn, brother. Yeah. I want to play Children.
Thank you.
Wap from Pedro Show. Eric Slick with Children start off that chunk. Then Black Randy and the Metro Squad. There's some 70s Hollywood punk. I Slept in an Arcade. Alexander DeLarge versus Super Freak out of Italy with Arcetta. Arcetta. I'm always fucking up that double C thing. Well, the C sounds in Italy I'm always ruining. Sorry. Scusi. But, yeah, there's a pasta, and especially where these guys are from, down south, Bari and Puglia Regione. And it's fucking ears, right? Because that's what, it's the shape of the pasta. What can hold the sauce the best? And I love this guy and the little ears. Arcetta with turnip tops, recipe number one. Special interest after that, Black Silk Stocking, Troop a Troop out of Poland with Leave It All and Finally Closer to Heaven. This is Eric Slick, featured Natalie Press?
Yeah, that's my wife.
Okay. Now, I'm actually using the title I found because the one you gave me didn't mention that fact. But this one did, the one I found off your Bandcamp trip. So, yeah, much respect. Natalie, yeah, fucking quite a musician.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah. And you're not afraid of that, right? That makes you, helps you get better, like with Dom.
Exactly.
So, some people like to surround themselves with little, what, I'm using a metaphor, but midget, little, right, so they can look big. But that, Miles Davis said, no, put the best people around you. Get John Coltrane in your fucking band.
Exactly.
Cannonball Adderley. Fucking.
Exactly. How else are you supposed to grow?
Right. But with some people, there's some, what's it called, narcissist? You know, it's all about me shit, right?
Yeah, I know. I don't have time for that.
So all this training you're getting from the Frank Zappa musician guys and from Adrian Belew. This is still on the side, though, because you've got your own songs, your own music you want to bring out, right?
Yep.
Dom's more part of that.
Yeah, Dom was really encouraging in that zone. And then, so our band Lithuania, it was kind of funny. Like, we were trying to model ourselves, you know, off the 80s punk bands, like the ones that were – like you guys, you know, like we were trying to do that and we thought it'd be funny to name ourselves after a country we had never visited. We just thought it would be hilarious. And we'd have, you know, like kind of like the No Man Is an Island, but the two of us are a country.
Man is also the way Odysseus got out of the trap Polyphemus had him in. By telling himself was that, when they stabbed him in the eye, got him all borracho, right? And then stab him in the eye, and he goes out to tell his cousins, no man is attacking me. He's fucking borracho. Borracho.
So we go on tour, and then right around the same time, the band Dr. Dog knew that I was looking for a gig in Philadelphia, and then they took me on in the band. As their drummer. Their drummer had quit. And it was a guy that they had kind of grown up with. And so they knew that I had the chops from playing all the prog stuff that I could handle doing songs.
Learn quick.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. But I was a fan of the band. I had seen them a ton of times in Philly.
Well, that helps.
Yeah.
We're at the end of the second hour, May 20, 2021 edition. Why Peter's so special guest, Eric Slick. Hold tight for hour three. May 20, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wofford Pedro Show.
That I never could remember. Is a producer in the boot? Producer.
Look, I'm saying your country career right now.
Yep.
I mean, what would you rather have? To continue to do what you're doing or have one massive number one record that everybody's talking about and you're on the Today Show talking about it?
I continue to do what I'm doing right now.
You know, we're rich and maybe nobody will like it. What have we got to lose?
I got a lot to lose. I got a lot to lose, boy. I got a lot to lose. I moved here from Texas. I got on a bus and I went to Fresno and I thought Merle Haggard lived there. And then I come down here to Hollywood and everything's all fucked up. That's not funny. You know what I'm talking about. Hey.
Get in the mood for it. It'll all come together when okay. You see what you're really trying to do.
I
don't think you've really gotten the feeling yet.
All right. I'll try it again.
You're not judging whether it's more than that, just whether you can do it or not.
Fuck you. Fuck you, asshole.
But you have the emotion.
I do have the emotion.
Versus, you got it.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Is there any way around this? Sing talking. I mean, with that, and is that possible?
Yeah. All right. I'll talk it down all the way. I won't sing.
Well, maybe you could capture the feeling if you did talk the first verse.
Okay.
Or would that be out of the question?
No.
See, all I'm thinking about is here I am. I'm a radio station person. I want to put this on the air, right? Because it says something. Now, if it's just a regular song and it just comes out like da 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 da, then who cares? But if Walter Brennan. Basically all I'm concerned with is not producing a work of art here, but making money.
Yeah. Lots of money, okay.
Let's talk it all the way through.
You want me to talk the song all the way through? I do. I just want to get out of here. Is that what I gotta do?
Let's try it, talking it all the way through.
Okay.
See what happens.
I just wanna go home.
Jesus Christ, he's a sensitive man. I'm sick of this shit.
Fuck you and your nose, motherfucker.
Let's give it a shot. That's when you almost have to, like, stand back from all the disgust and everything you're feeling. Like, oh,
okay. Alright.
You can sing that, but you've got to kind of set it off.
All right, I set it off.
Jesus Christ, he's a sensitive man. I'm sick.
Are you talking about me or some other motherfucker? Listen.
Now, wait a minute. I can't change attitudes.
I didn't apologize for nothing. I just want to get the fuck out of here.
It can't be so, no. It's got to be, you know, look.
All right.
One of the hardest things that anybody ever has to do is get up and talk about themselves or whatever in front of a lot of people. And you're always embarrassed. So if you've ever tried to read a love poem in front of a bunch of people, you never embarrassed to be emotive. Because people are watching and you're corny. Well,
okay.
It's much better to be corny than to be bland. And what we want here is... what we want is just to have you forget that there are people out here watching you do it.
Alright.
You can be a ham when you're doing it.
Alright. Okay. Alright. That's what I'll do then. Whoa.
That's alright. You can lead into it. I meant this man.
I think it needs to be frustrated from the start.
I don't understand what you're talking about. Hey. I'll tell you
He's a time. Sensitive man.
That's right, goddammit. I'm a sensitive man.
To me, that's 100 times better.
Thank you.
What do you think?
It seems like it doesn't close somehow now. It doesn't seem like an ending to that.
Okay. What you do here is now you can do some ad lib. I'm sick of this stuff. But where the hell are all the real men in this country? I mean, I can't find one no matter where I look.
Yeah.
I mean, I can take off my clothes in a bus stop, and all I'm going to get are people coming around handing me tickets to go see the Eileen Cassorla show. I mean, I am pissed. I mean, this is ridiculous. And now it fades out like that. And then you have a gimmick record. And you have a good one. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, Bill.
Please, I mean, you don't have to humor.
I won't humor you. Are you a man or a woman?
What we're trying to do here, see, if you say it, or comment,
or play it on
Spoons, you're going to make as much money if you sell 2,000 records as you sing, right? I mean, there's no difference. So basically what we're trying to do is to get something that somebody's going to take and play.
All right.
I am convinced that it will be easier to sell that than it will be the first two songs you
very much. That's
given
great.
The fact that there's no major label behind you.
Yeah.
If there's a major label, I'm wrong. If there's no major label, I'm right.
You're wrong. I mean, you're right. That sounds good. So, let's take it from the top.
Do it, and I'm going to sit down and write the script for the end of it. We can always...
All right, just a second. Let me talk to you for a second. Oh, fuck. I gotta get out of here. Jimbo put my amp in the car, and I just can't stick around. I don't even know what you're talking about. Is that justice? Is that proper? I'm talking to you.
Bob and Pedro show. Start off the third hour with something from Eric Slick's past. Him and Dom doing Lithuania and a tune called Pieces. Okay. John Wayne after that. No H in John, by the way. Not the same person. Texas Studio. And this is a drama to the nth degree, people. And anybody who's been in this sitch can relate. So I was thinking of Eric when I chose this one. Pino Ventana from Jason LaVarge. What's the studio called? It's in Brooklyn. Caesar's Palace. Crack in the light. Crack in the eye. Public record after Battleship Gray. Yeah, and of course, the Gray's got an E, so it's England spelling. Finally, Lithuania. God in Two Persons. Great tune, man. Okay. Go on with your Lithuania. You guys went on tour.
We went on tour, and then, yeah, the Dr. Dog guys picked me up. And then Lithuania, you know how it is with projects. You know, one
back
takes
burner,
a back,
right? Back yeah. burner.
So I went on the back burner for a while, and then, you know, I toured the world with Dr. Dog for about 4 years, and then Dominic and I finally decided to do a full-length record together, and that's the album Hardcore Friends. So that was – we did that. We made that whole record in about 3 or 4 days because, you know, we didn't have any money or anything. So it was just like go in the studio, bang it out, and that was our first record.
Yeah, now, here's a song from it called Crown Victoria. You know, for a while in SoCal here, LAPD was all Crown Vics.
That's exactly why the song is called Crown Victoria.
What? Did a good guess.
Thank you.
Walk for Pedro show last music for this edition. Lithuania with the Learn How to Police Yourself tune, Crown Victoria. I love it. After that, Thurston Moore with Zach Davis. This is what you do, you know, when you have a situation like we got. You collaborate with people. 7777. Thurston Moore with Zach Davis. And then finally, something going way back. When Eric calls this his guitar era. I guess it's when you first got that acoustic and shit. A mess of tangle wire muscle. And I just thought it'd be... So we kind of went backwards.
Last music
I played was the first music that you recorded. But let's talk about this new record that you did last year. And actually, you did something in December. You did a one-song thing. Can we still be friends? I was going to play it. Yeah, it's a Todd song that you reinterpreted.
Yes.
But I was going to play it, but then you gave me this other batch. But the album you made right before that, that's from last year, right?
Yeah, Wiseacre.
Okay, so that's the most contemporary. Because would you consider the Todd cover kind of part of Wiseacre?
Exactly, yeah. Things that are more influenced by, like, 70s AM pop.
Well, tell me, when did the fucking first concept... Because Wiseacre ain't a Dom thing, right?
No, this is a solo thing. So the concept for it started in 2018, and I really just wanted to make a record about getting married. And Natalie and I got married in 2019, but the whole process of songwriting was sort of built around that. And I thought it was funny. I was driving around listening to ELO. I was listening to the song Turn to Stone, and that was sort of the genesis of where I wanted to go next musically. Cause I'm always changing, you know, like as you can tell by what I'm doing, it's like, I'm either going to make a guitar record. I'm making, a punk record. And then this was my attempt at like making stuff that was more informed by, things like ELO, Steely Dan, a little bit of Brazilian music too. Natalie turned me on to like Milton Nascimento. So I was just trying to roll all of that into something.
Well, you know what might make it easy? Maybe an understanding that music's music and fuck genre.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I didn't want to do a shortcut on the truth on you there, Eric. But
No, but that's exactly where I was coming from, was like, why can't I take things that are disparate elements and put them together? And I think that was really inspiring.
But are they that desperate? Is it music?
Yeah, it's music. Well, that's what I was saying. I think at first I used to think of that way, where I'd compartmentalize.
Oh, dude,
but
I had a whole Berlin Wall built in my fucking brain with that shit.
Yeah, and then you realize it's all the same.
That's right. Well, it's maybe not the same, but it's got a common understanding.
12 notes.
Yeah. and emotions and rhythms and, right, mood, all kinds of shit, right? Human expression.
Yeah.
Okay, so more about Wiseacre. What was the first Wiseacre song?
What's that?
What was the first Wiseacre song you wrote for that album?
Yeah, first song was called Nothing to Lose, because it was sort of like the manifesto for the record. Like, well, you know, I might as well put everything that I have into making this, because if I'm going to make something that's extremely personal and vulnerable, I might as well put it all out there. So Nothing to Lose is sort of like the... the manifesto, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I like you rolling the dice in Vegas. Baby needs a new pair of shoes.
but I'm sure that
motherfucker went and took the money if he won and went and bought Baby some new shoes.
Exactly. So I was just trying to make a reason for making an album, you know?
No, you had a great reason. You're getting fucking married.
Getting married, and I wanted to put something out there that wasn't... Also, I tend to go for angular, and I wanted to do something that was listenable, but also had all the things that I like about music in there. You know, sometimes you forget to, like, when you sit down to write, that you're doing something that you love. So I wanted it to be a labor of love too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, did Natalie help?
She did. I mean, she would also, like, I'd play her songs, and if something wasn't quite jiving properly, I think she has a really good ear for editing. Like, I don't necessarily have that kind of ear. I just kind of sit down, and I chop it out, and I write it, and it all kind of comes out. But she's the kind of
person. Let me guess, you start with too much, and she knows how to bring in the editorial scalpel.
Exactly, exactly.
That's, man, there's no greater gift another musician can do for a fellow musician.
Exactly, and I think it shows a lot of patience on her part, too, to sit down and be able to, you know, hear something and say, maybe that's not the bridge, or maybe the bridge needs to be later than that, and, you know, 100% of the time she's right, so... I'm not just saying that, you know, it is true. So then, like right before we got married, I went into the studio and cut four songs to see if it would work. And there's a guy in town in Nashville named Jeremy Ferguson. Who's amazing. He does, he records everybody here. He's known for doing like the band Lamb Chop.
Sure. Yeah, I know the bass man Matt Swanson used to be in Clockhammer, which was a great Nashville band.
Okay, so there you go. So he has done a lot of their records. He did the forthcoming Lamb Chop record, too. And it just seemed like him and I had a lot of the same aesthetic ideas, you know. Just he knew that if I said, you know what I really like? I really like the snare drum sound on Peter Gabriel 3. He would know exactly what I was talking about.
Hopefully it wasn't Phil Collins.
No,
that man can play that. In fact, Phil Collins has got a neat thing with the flams on the toms. Bloom, 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 bloom.
Exactly. Right. This is more. I'm talking more like Jerry Murata. You know,
okay. Yeah, sure. So, or some Chester.
Oh, Chester Thompson, exactly.
Right. I once shared the stage with the Fire Merchants. His drum set, it was one of those things called a cage. Like, everything's clamped on this big corral around, and he sat in the middle of.
That's exactly what it's called. Yeah, the rack.
Yeah, the rack. That's it.
He had a rack. Yeah, those are not in fashion anymore, as you well know, but.
He bugged out the whole fucking shit. Look, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on, I'm on Instagram. It's Strange America, because America is very strange.
But is there an Eric Slick website?
Yeah, ericslick.com.
Okay, people, ericslick.com. You probably got links to all them other places, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no problem. But I like the idea you have a place where there's no filter. It's all just you and the people. Like having own fanzine, huh?
That's right.
And look, when you make your next record, the post-wedding album, please come back on the show. Let's play it and talk about it.
I would love to.
Yeah, because I could talk to you for a buttload of years, brother.
I know, we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. People, May 20, 2021, Disrupt Pedo Show, King of Powder, right?